Blog Talk Radio.
Reason is our weapon of choice. Skeptics know that you do have a voice. Science is not so, we'll be defying it. It's what we know, so it's best to apply it. Feed you information, deposits and knowledge, so you know ignorance is not an option. Welcome to the RSS feed with your host, Raina Rose. Skeptical superwoman, but in plain clothes. She ain't no Jane Doe, nor is she a day old. So no couple arguments, weakly molded like Plato. Taking false info like Kato, with it should be a J-O. You expand your mind like a transit line. Nothing is ever true, cause you think so. It's evident that you never win, cause the evidence you present is irrelevant in the present tense. It's reckless and negligent. Never ask questions or to think ignorance is good and relishing. So we spark debate, cause you know the truth is hard to take, especially with so many false goods in these modern days. Ocean reality, we start to face. Shout out to the skeptics, my freak thinking, delivering cow missiles that fire and heat seeking. Aim that you shoot to win the leg. You weak creatures, Christian scientists who debate evolution. Elitists in the government that hate the revolution. Armchair activists who overstate their contribution to the movement, cause they say they have solutions. So it's best to listen to understand skepticism is the religion. And so we get a better vision of how the world works in what we call marvelous to make a better future. You know that it starts with us. Progressive thoughts, progressive talks, the sharing of ideas, the medicine we need. Another dose of the RSSD. Say what? Another dose of the RSSD.
Hey everybody, this is Raina. And you have tuned in to another episode of the RSS feed. Today's show will be talking about the film series, I don't even want to call them documentaries, of Hidden Colors. It's a series that is produced, and directed by Tariq Nasheed. You might know from, such glorious scholarly works as, the Flavor of Love Charm School and wonderfully written poems, I'm told, The Art of Macking. And I think there's some other ones like The Art of Gold Digging. So he's very well-respected scholar. I think this is Kim we have holding, so one moment. Hey, Kim, you're live.
Hey, well, good afternoon, everybody.
Hey. How are you today?
Hey, I'm well. Yourself?
I'm well. I kind of gave myself a little bit of a headache over the last week, coming up with my notes for this show.
I understand what you're talking about. Been there, done that, right?
It was a challenge to get back to what I needed to do, but I'm glad that I could finish, or at least I didn't finish necessarily. I will be writing some blogs on this, guys. So, just so that the information is out there, but it's just something else. I mean, there's a lot of crap to unpack, in all of this. A lot.
Yes, but that's why we have this show. This is why we're going to talk about it today, so that, give people an opportunity to discuss this type of material, because it's not necessarily just this documentary, and we want to make sure we let people know there are a number of different books and documentaries and, websites out there that, espouse this type of information. And what we're trying to do is we're going to tell you, we'll state, what was said and then we'll refute it and tell you why. And for those that are listening, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you can dial in to 310-982-4273. Again, that's 310-982-4273. If you would like to speak with us, press 1. And you also have the option to Skype in as well. So just click the big blue S next to the telephone number at the top of the page.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I was just telling the audience at home about about Tariq Nasheed. It's kind of crazy to me that anyone actually pays attention to this clown. He's very sexist. From what I've seen and read of his, I'm not very impressed by his scholarship, frankly. And certainly not after this, you know, quote unquote documentary. I use that term very loosely, because there's very little documentation and there's like zero research that's been done, as far as I can tell. But yeah, the inspiration for these films, according to Mr. Nasheed, is that he was watching a History Channel program that he felt went out of its way to omit the history of Africans in the Americas before European, explorers. And this film, or these films, they love everything conspiracy theory. You know, all things conspiracy theory. Like if there's a conspiracy, they're on it. there's just no skepticism at all. There's a little bit of everything for everybody. I mean, it's, you know, HIV, AIDS conspiracy theories, theories about, mass genocide, involving even homosexuality of all things. Which is just absurd, just ridiculous, but they're very homophobic, very sort of anti-feminism, not even sort of, I mean, just flat out anti-feminism, anti-woman, really, in my opinion, anti-birth control, but there are some things that are true that they hit on, like, you know, there's some things, I'll put these up front just so that no one can say that I said nothing good about this film, you know? But there's, like, a couple of parts where they talk about how, you know, mostly all that you see when it comes to Africa is, is bad things. Like, they'll show you the poorest or the dirtiest places in Africa. Or they'll show on TV or in the media, they'll show, children who are hungry, have the distended bellies, all of that type of stuff. But those things exist in Africa. You know, they exist a lot of other places too. You can find children in the United States who are hungry and have, distended bellies and, suffering from diseases that, most of the world hasn't had to deal with since, like, before the early 1900s, but they are right that, there sometimes is a bias in the media that does not want to really show or depict the stories of, people of color in general, but certainly not of people of color in these designated third world countries as having anything positive going on or having anything a value happening. And what do you think about that, Kim?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Those are all things that definitely need to be addressed and discussed in an honest, factual-based, conversation. With the conspiracy theories, Raina did a couple of shows on conspiracy theories, and you can find that in the archives. Go and take a look. And we have to address these type of things because you have people walking around believing this type of stuff, and it's detrimental. And they continue to perpetuate it and have others believing it. And we're just trying to bring forth, you know, the facts behind it, and we'll give you the information, the links, so you can go out and research for yourself. We're not asking you to believe, you know, what we're saying verbatim. Go and research it. That's what we're challenging you to do.
Absolutely. You know, so, like I said, it's not that there's nothing that's true in the documentary, but, you know, as we say quite often here on the show, even a broke clock is correct twice a day. You know? They're bound to hit on something that's true occasionally. But a lot of, you know, the majority of their information, and I would say it's probably anywhere from, you know, 90 to 95% untrue. You know, it's composed of things that are speculative. Some of it's just, you know, downright, you know, from ignorance. Like, they just, you know, they just don't know that these things are out there. And then, you know, the rest of it is just pure, you know, unadulterated bullshit. And they kind of sound, well, I don't know. I'll let you guys judge for yourself. I got a clip I'm going to play. And you guys judge for yourself. I mean, hold on 1 minute.
First of all, we must internalize the flatulation of the matter by transmitting the effervescence of the Indonesian proximity in order to further segregate the crux of my venereal infection. Now, if I may retain my liquids here for 1 moment, I'd like to continue the redundance of my quote-unquote intestinal tract. See, because to preclude on the issue of world domination would only circumcise the revelation that reflects the aphrodisiatic symptoms which now perpetrates the Jericho's activation. So, do not misinterpret the chauvinistic...
Give to the United Negro Scholarship Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to develop without help.
Allow me...
Okay. To be fair, that wasn't actually a clip from the film. That was actually a clip from In Living Color, Damon Wayans playing his character Oswald Bates. Unfortunately, though. A lot of what is in these films does not sound too unlike what you just heard. It's some of it's just completely unintelligible, and the rest of it is you know people trying to put on sort of like they're more intelligent, or that they're saying things that are more intelligent than, you know, than evidence would bear out. So. I know that was kind of mean, but I couldn't resist. Sorry. seriously though, like the documentary kind of reminded me. Okay, so you remember that song that they used to play on the Tootsie Roll commercials? You know, whatever it is, I think I see becomes a Tootsie Roll to me. Remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Okay. While I was watching this, and oh my God, the movies are so long. Like, the first one is about 108 minutes long. So, you know, close to 2 hours, not quite. The second one is 2.5 hours long. And I just want to let you guys know that I really do care about you all and like what I do, because I suffered for this show. Okay? I suffered. Okay? But, I really did. I suffered through 2.5 hours. Put together nearly, you know, 4.5 hours of complete nonsense. And it's just like, and it's so crazy because they don't even give you a break. Like, it's just like rapid fire bullshit. You know?
Right.
Like, you can't even breathe in between. Like, the first time I was taking notes, it was, it was like I was started to type something, and then like it would be the next thing, and I'd be so sideswiped by the bullshit that I just heard that I would just lose the last thing that I was actually typing. So I just decided to do away with the notes and kind of just, you know, write notes from memory for that reason. But, you know, when I was making the reference to the Tootsie Roll thing, you know, when I was watching it in my head, I was sort of thinking, like, you know, these people kind of, you know, sound like, you know, whatever it is, I think I see becomes an African. You know? And it was just like... It was just crazy. Right. Like, everything was African. Like there's, like, you know, anything, like, braiding, you know, like, all language, all everything was African. And it's, like, on a certain level, like, you understand, like, where all this comes from, because there is a lot of history that we're not taught, you know what I mean? In school, there's a lot of things that have been distorted purposefully by historians, by anthropologists, you know, by other people for racist reasons, and those things remain to this day unchallenged. Some of those things are perpetuated purposefully. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
right.
None of that entitles, you know, to invent history. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or to blackwash history the same way that history in many ways has been whitewashed.
Exactly. Right. And, you know, we talked about how sometimes that's done to promote self-esteem because, you know, there's so much negativity coming towards, you know, communities of color and thrown at communities of color, and we want to build our self-esteem, and that's fine, but when you combine misinformation with that, you know, that's not helping anything or anybody.
Right, exactly. So we have to, you know, be aware of these things, that, you know, none of this is helpful. You know, you don't want to lie to people. You want people to know history because knowing history is valuable. I'm sorry, Kim. I just got your message. But yeah, I took care of that. But yeah, so, you know, like I said, not everything is wrong. But, you know, they start off wrong. they really do. They start off like dead wrong. They claim that the name Africa comes from a Roman general named Scipio Africanus. It doesn't really take much to find this information out. You know, like 2 seconds on Google. You know, today's theme is going to be Google that shit. You know what I mean? That's going to be.
And that's the wonderful world that we live in now, that we can now Google. Everything is at our fingertips. You can talk to someone on the other side of the world, have a conversation with them now. The technology has made all of this so much more convenient and so much more easier, and that's the reason why, you know, a lot of people are starting to wake up, because now they can do the research and read this information for themselves. You know, especially those of us in the secular community, this is how it reinforces some of us that have, if you will, emerged from our cocoon, if you will, but with the same type of skepticism that you use for, you know, researching your non-belief or secularism, you have to use the same type of skepticism and do the same type of research for other things in your life, including when you get information such as this.
Exactly, exactly. Just because it sounds good and it makes you feel good doesn't mean that it's true. Sorry, I'm reading someone in the chat room. They said the Lord will lead us to the information. I guess the Lord led us into a recession, and the Lord is, you know, has led us into war, so I guess he'll lead us to the information too. But in any case, The name Scipio Africanus, Africanus is not a last name. Africanus is actually a nickname. And because it's a nickname, there's no way that Africa was named for Scipio Africanus. But there are some various origins that are, you know, have some acceptance in academic circles, one of which is that it comes from the name of a group of Tunisian Berbers called the Afri. Another one says that it comes from the name Ifria, which is a, it means sunny place, and it's located in Tanzania. You know, but it doesn't come from Scipio Africanus. Incorrect. And actually, Scipio Africanus got that name, Africanus, after he defeated Hannibal in the Second Punic War. So just so you know, if someone hits you with, you know, Africa was named after Scipio Africanus, call bullshit. But there is like, okay, so I didn't tell you all of who is in this film. And I probably should do that because some of the reasons why, or some of the bullshit should sort of be obvious to people who are skeptical and familiar with these names. One of them is Dr. Umar Johnson, who you may know because he's been on various television talk shows and other things talking about, you know, the same sort of things as Dr. Njufu. I forget his name. Siwanza, I forget his last name. But the guy who talks about the conspiracy to destroy black boys, which actually happens to have some, you know, credibility to it, but not in the way that he frames it. Dr. Umar Johnson kind of does the same thing. He's supposed to be a school psychologist, but I can find zero credentials for this individual. There is no school psychology website that lists him having a license to practice. And there's also Shahrazad Ali, she is, this Tosu Dashikiyas, relationship expert, social commentator, who likes to, likes to say things like, black women sometimes need to be hit, that we need to get back in our kitchen and that kind of stuff, that we need to support our men and, a whole host of other, ignorant patriarchal things. Once again, proving that sometimes women can be more patriarchal than men. There's also Phil Valentine. Oh, Phil Valentine. Oh, dear. That's the one you probably would not have heard so much about because he is mostly a YouTube sensation, and he gets around in various, sort of Tosu Dashikiyas circles, but he hasn't reached sort of a wider audience in the way that, Dr. Johnson and Shahrazad Ali have. But he is, he's pretty friggin' out there. Like, he talks a lot about, melanin magic theory and, or magic melanin theory. Like a lot of other Tosu Dashikiyas, like Jewel Pukrum and some others. Then there is Booker T. Coleman, who I admit I am not familiar with at all. I've seen him sometimes in conjunction with, searches on, Phil Valentine and some of these other people. So he's basically along the same lines as the rest of them. And then there's Francis Cress Welsing, who wrote the ISIS papers.
That book I read. Anyway, go ahead. She's an MD.
Yeah, she's a legit MD. I think she actually still practices pediatric psychiatry. I would never, if I had a child, take my child to her because I think she's batshit crazy. But that doesn't mean that she has not done good work. for certain people. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some things that she says about white supremacy in general, like how, you know, talking about how white supremacy is sort of built on, you know, certain fears, and some of those fears have to do with, you know, genetic annihilation, you know, as she puts it. I agree with some of that in terms of the larger, you know, take home message, you know. What I don't agree with is like some of the things that she uses to support her theory, talking about things like like how white men play with, you know, basketballs and various, you know, sports when they're young, but as they get older, they play with little white balls or some crazy shit like that. You know, the thing about there's a part in her book where she has the Christmas tree and she tries to suggest that the symbolism of the Christmas tree and the symbology of the cross somehow represent a phallus and testicles.
I mean, there's just a whole bunch of, you know, nonsense that she comes up with, and I'm not sure from where. Actually, I am sure from where, but I'm not going to say so right now. Anyway, she also is in there. And I think that just about covers everyone who's in the first Hidden Colors film. You know, a couple of the people I mentioned are in the second film. Oh, there's also this guy named Sabir Bey, but he's only in there for like a very short period. He doesn't really contribute much to the whole thing. Oh, I didn't mention how poorly edited this thing is. This thing is so poorly edited. Like, there's just, like I said before, like, it is, like, rapid-fire bullshit. Like, the sections and things, it would be almost like fact, except it's not. It's bullshit. And, like, some of them, they don't even connect to one another. But, like, in the minds of the people who are doing this, I guess they connect together because they're also into, like, grand conspiracy theories. So we know that for most of the people who believe in grand conspiracy theories, just about everything is connected, you know. It's some crazy bullshit, you know, in this film. But there's some really, like moments in this movie. You know, Shahrazad Ali claims that they don't know, or we don't know, what we did in China 35,000 years ago, and they show the Great Wall of China. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm not aware of any scholarship that proves that those were African people that made the Great Wall of China. Now, I'll put it like this. They talk about a lot of different groups of people, from Fijians to, you know, the Ainu of Japan to, you know, various Indonesian people who are dark-skinned, you know, South Asians. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, everyone comes from Africa. That's what the evidence shows us. So you're bound to find dark-skinned people throughout the planet, you know? That's not a surprise.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But
uh-huh. To
claim that they're African, I mean, first of all, there is no such thing as an African culture, an African civilization, just like there's really no European. Like, grouping them together is what we've done. But they're really not, it's really not a group thing, you know what I mean? France has a different culture than, you know, Britain. Britain has a different culture than, you know, Italy. Italy has a different culture than Spain. Now, they're bound to be similarities, but if you take any one of those countries and you compare them to any, you know, African country or, you know, South American country, you're bound to find some similarities, and you're bound to find some differences. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that we all are human beings, and we all have evolved these brains. And we know that we've evolved these brains in essentially the same way, because there's very little difference among us, you know. So
exactly.
We're bound to stumble upon, you know, similar ways of doing things, similar ways of being, you know, and none of these things necessarily have to originate from a single group. And what they're trying to assert is that all knowledge, all everything comes from Africa. Well, all people come from Africa. So, I mean, what is your point? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Civilization derived. That's been proven. So,
yeah.
You know, it's you know, basically, they're taking a lot of things for granted. They're manipulating the information, and they're not being 100% truthful. And that's why you have to be careful, because civilization did start in Africa, if you will. Now, what they did over at the Great Wall, I mean, go back and do your research. The information is out there. But, you know,
right.
The burden of proof is on them, but, you know, I still want you to go out and research on your own.
Yeah. I mean, it's at a certain point, it's like they're claiming everybody's African, but at the same time, they're trying to say, okay, but we're better. You know what I mean? Somehow. Like, because we did it. It's like, but those were also, according to you, African people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, did we go and give them this, or did they already have this because they were also African, just happening to be in a different climate? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or
exactly.
In a different place. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Someone in the chat room basically was saying that someone had told them that melanin cures AIDS, and the reason why black people still die from it is because white people extract some of our melanin when we get vaccinations. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that part, because that's actually sort of covered in the second film. And we've got time, you know. We're going to be here for a while, so, you know.
Oh, yeah,
back.
But I was referring to the melanin thing. The melanin,
yes,
you know,
yes.
The reason why we have different types of colors is because of melanin and just regional. I mean, there's
exactly.
Scientific answers to that particular question.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone's mentioning the Kung Fu thing. I guess since we just finished mentioning China, we can talk a little bit about that. They claim in the documentary that martial arts, and I think that part of the problem is that most of us, when we think of martial arts, we only think about martial arts in Asia. But martial arts are really just codified systems and traditions of combat practice.
Uh-huh.
And those are found throughout the world. There are, you know, there's different types of African stick fighting, for example. There's, you know, there's forms of African boxing, African wrestling. There's, you know, of course, there's capoeira in South America, and, you know, other various things. I mean, even what we think of in terms of, you know, medieval times and knights and, you know, people sword fighting, that is a form of martial arts. Fencing is martial arts. It is a codified
exactly.
system of combat. Now, because we usually have, you know, we've been sort of conditioned to think of only, you know, sort of karate and, you know, kung fu as martial arts, some of us don't recognize these other things as their own form of martial art. And I think that's a shame, because it sort of minimizes what those things are and what they represent culturally. For those groups, they do, you know, they have rules, they have structure. There are particular moves that you're supposed to do or not do. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So
and
to,
then there's it's kind of like with martial arts, and you're right, it is a dance. Because, I mean, if you've ever watched people sparring, you know, not necessarily mm-hmm. the competitions when they're fighting itself, because that's different. But when you watch them sparring, it is kind of like a dance. You know, you present one move, and automatically they, you know, resist or counteract with another move. And this is what you're taught when you're practicing martial arts. And it is especially like Taekwondo. That is a beautiful form of martial arts, you know. So you have the different forms out there. You have, you know, like she mentioned a few, capoeira, beautiful, beautiful martial arts. That's what
what's her name, Jennifer Lopez did in that movie enough. She was practicing capoeira. So, you know, there are a lot of different forms out there. A lot of different countries have their own version of it. So, no, it wasn't necessarily started in Africa, but Africa has some specialized martial arts that they do as well. So, you know, Raina mentioned the stick fighting, and there are many other variations. Do your research.
That's right. So, yeah, we have to, you know, keep that in mind. Actually, in the documentary, they make a claim that the samurai, you know, warrior tradition was started by Africans. And they even say that there is a motto or a saying that you can't be a samurai unless you have some black blood in you. I could not trace this saying to any source that I can deem reputable. The first and only time I've ever heard of it is in this documentary. And because this documentary does very little documentation of anything that they say, they don't provide many sources for anything that they say. As a matter of fact, a lot of times they'll tell a story or they'll start talking about an interaction between a group or groups of people, and they'll use a dialogue, and you're like, where are you getting this dialogue from? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the right. South to the North, like, you're going to give up your slaves. No, I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, it happens, like, in a conversation like that. You know, it's so crazy. But in any case, you know, she said that Africans invented the wheel, the clock, mathematics, the alphabet. Well, you know, yes, I mean, some of those things were invented in Africa, but they, you know, there's no reason that they could not have also been invented other places, too, by other people.
Exactly.
With other human brains. You
exactly.
know what I mean? These are, you know,
mm-hmm.
moving things, you know, wanting to get from one place to another, you know, is a human problem. It's a problem. It's a problem for most animals. You know what I mean? You have to figure out how to get there. So we have, you know, a system whereby we reason out how to accomplish certain activities, you know, with the tools that we have. And, you know, human beings are able to create their own tools. So it's not unreasonable that that there was a wheel in Africa and a wheel in Europe and a wheel in Asia, and that none of them had anything to do with each other. No one had to teach each other how to build a wheel. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That it could
exactly.
have come up, you know, without, you know, one African person or one African group spreading it out throughout the world. It's possible.
And that type of thing is even evidenced now. I mean, there are more than, you know, people, there are more than one person that can have the same exact thought. I mean, it's that type of thing happens, you know, more than one person can invent the same type of invention, if you will. That's why you have a U.S. patent office. And whoever can get there first and has the best prototype, who does, who gets it. But, yeah, you know, you had other thinking people in other countries at the same time, and they may have come up with the same thing around the same time. You know, the alphabet was different, and it varied from country to country because, I mean, even, you know, our language here in America, you know, is based off of a couple of different languages, you know, so
right.
you have to understand that.
Right. And I mean, if you want to get into, you know, languages and things like that, there are books and things that can teach you more about these things. But, you know, there's, you know, what the roots are and, you know, where it comes from, what are the, you know, sort of African, you know, sort of it, the, sort of North African-based languages or, you know, the Asian languages or the Latin, you know, or Romance language family. Like, there's documentation on that type of stuff. There's things on different Native American languages and where they come from. But, again, a lot of this is going to be coming from the human brain. So there are some things that are going to remain somewhat standard. You know, not everything, but some things. So, I mean, if you're
right.
if you find similarities, it's not necessarily because one came from the other. You know, some similarities are coincidental, and they don't really provide you with any information. So you just have to, you know, you just have to do some research. And then, oh, there was one part where Phil Valentine claimed that whites are, you know, according to him, have cut off anything before 6,000 years ago so that they can diminish the accomplishments made by black people. But he provides absolutely no evidence for this. And then he also refers to the Vatican having miles of storage in their facilities that, you know, are supposedly what he calls our artifacts. And but he provides no evidence of how he knows what is stored in those, you know, supposedly miles of storage. And then he also claims that Egyptology was created by the Vatican as a screening mechanism to explain away what was being excavated, and the claims of, and that claims of Egyptologists are suspect because he claims that they're agents of misinformation.
Huh. Interesting.
He says that you don't find. Yeah, he claims that you don't find any Europeanology or Franceology, even though there is actually a branch of Indianology, and there are also other, you know, ologies out there. But sometimes they also have other names in academic circles. But there are lots of different ologies.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there probably was a Europeanology at some point, but
wow.
But he claims that this that only Egyptology has that name, which I think is really silly.
That's the thing, you know, because I mean, even again, we're asking you all to use your critical thinking skills and to, you know, basically back up this type of information, because he's making these types of assertions, and he's making it with authority, if you will, and people are believing it. Now, if that was, you know, let's say someone in your family or, you know, one of your church friends or the pastor or whatever, you know, many of us would demand that they show some type of evidence, some type of factual evidence to basically substantiate their argument. Same thing in this case. You know, he's stating that they have miles and miles of artifacts and books and all of that. Then if that is the case, where did he get that knowledge? Or is this some type of special knowledge that only certain people have? You know, I want you all to put that in context and start comparing this and putting it next to each other to understand why it's so dangerous.
Right. Another thing that he says is, another thing that was said in there was by Shahrazad Ali. She claims that that there were never any cavemen in Africa, that Africans were never cavemen. And, you know, I don't know, there was something about that statement that kind of grated on me. Like, first of all, like, what is wrong with being in a cave if that is where you can find shelter? You know what I mean? Like, that's the first problem I had with it. Like, you know, and then the other problem is, it's like, well, how do you know that? Have you done any research on that? So I actually did do some research on that question because I'm a skeptical person. So I actually found out that there are numerous caves in Africa where there have been, you know, fossils found. And there's one in South Africa called the Sterfontein Caves. And in those caves, they have uncovered more than 500 or more hominids, ranging from Australopithecus to early Homo to Paranthropus. Now, these are not necessarily direct ancestors, all of them, of modern humans. But it does show that there were at least some who were living in there. And how do we know they lived in there? Well, they recovered in some of these caves burned animal bones, which proves that our ancestors mastered fire more than 1 million years ago. Now, probably not many of us lived in caves, you know, in Africa. But at least some of us did, although caves were sometimes really, you know, kind of sketchy places, because if that looked like good shelter to a human being, it probably also looked like great shelter to a lion, or not a lion, but, you know, some kind of, you know, large predatory animal, like a bear, you know, or wolves,
right,
or something along those lines. So those were kind of sketchy places to live. Not everybody could do that. But it just goes to show you that, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, do a little research. Google that shit. You know?
Exactly.
If you don't know.
We encourage Google, right.
Yeah, Google that shit. You know, Bing it, you know? DuckDuckGo. I mean, you know, even Pirate Bay has a, you know, browser you can download. You know, do that, you know? look this stuff up, you know? So.
Exactly. It's too funny. But see, you see how easily you were able to Google that information and refute,
yeah,
you know, one of the assertions made in the movie stating that Africans never lived in caves. Now, you know, if they didn't live in a cave, you know, well, some of them, then where exactly did they live? And that information should have been brought forth as well. You know, but there is some evidence on that.
I mean, there's a lot of places in Africa that have yet to have been excavated, and there are some places,
right,
like, you know, just like other places where, you know, there were townships or there were settlements, but, you know, over time, you know, other groups, you know, might have stumbled across this stuff and may have used, you know, materials from those settlements or, you know, to build their own homes, like, you know, some of the ruins in, like, you know, in Central America and Mexico, you know, some of those places were raided for materials because they were ready-made bricks there. Ready-made bricks, ready-made mortar, you know. And, you know, all you had to do was just, you know, take it apart, take it back to your house. And so some people actually had, like, you know, pieces of bridges, you know, or, you know,
yeah,
pieces of, you know, temples in their homes, you know. Because they're not worried about that. They're just worried about having a place to live. Like, you know, they're not using it anymore. You know?
Right,
so,
exactly.
So it's very likely that there's even more evidence about how, you know, early humans lived throughout the world, you know, and also in Africa. But there, you know, there's, you know, some people don't know that there are, you know, there are fortresses, there are fortifications, there are, you know, large cities and monuments cut from, you know, stone in Africa prior to, you know, contact or what we know as documented contact with Europeans, you know, if you want to, you know, use that as your marker. But, you know, there was cultural exchange. There were people who were interacting with each other on the Silk Road. There was trade going on. So, you know, there were things, you know, traded on both sides. You know, you trade some gold for some, you know, some materials. You might also hear about a different way to build something or a new school where you can learn to do those things. So, I mean, there's all sorts of things that happen, you know. Cultures are not, you know, static, you know, things. You know, they change, they evolve, and when they contact other, you know, cultures, sometimes they take on things from the other culture that work for them and they discard the rest. You know?
Exactly.
So that was one of the funny things I thought. And when I came across it, I was like, that is so funny. She needs to learn how to use Google. So, like I said, not exactly, you know, proof that we lived in caves, like, you know, that humans lived in caves in Africa. But, you know, it's an indication that it might have happened at some point. So we already talked about martial arts. Okay, so here's another what the fuck. there was this guy, Booker T. Coleman. He was talking about, you know, various figures in European history that were supposed to be black. And he claims that Hypatia was black and that Romans killed her because they didn't want blacks being seen as intelligent. I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not why it was. As I recall, it had something to do with the Christians and that she looked like she was doing something, like she was working with another, I forget what the guy's name was, but she was working with someone else. The Christians didn't like what she was doing, and they killed her, as far as I recall. Now, of course, I'm not a historian. I'm not speaking as a historian, but I'm fairly sure that's how it happened. And I don't recall anything ever being written or said about her being black. It's not, you know, not that it's impossible, you know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I've not come across any information like that, and they don't provide any. And because they speculate so much on who was black and who wasn't, you know, I can't really regard them as a good source. You know, I mean, they claim that Beethoven was a Moor whose name was actually Tobin Bay.
Wow.
You know, it's just, you know, no evidence given. Just he was Tobin Bay because I said so, and that's what happened. I guess I can tell you about some of the other people they claim were. They said King Charles was black. Sorry, there were a couple different King Charleses, so I wasn't sure exactly which one it was. But I looked it up, and I don't remember which one it was. But I did make a note that, according to the sources that I came across, he wasn't called King Charles because he was black. He was called that because he had dark eyes and dark hair. And then Phil Valentine. Oh, let's go back to Phil Valentine. He said... And the Tobin Bay thing. So Valentine claims that the melanin kicked in when Beethoven started to go deaf, and that he heard music better when he was deaf than he had before.
What?
Yeah. Yes, girl. Okay. So I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. So the second documentary, they start off talking. The second one is called The Triumph of Melanin. Oh dear. Well, they claim in the second documentary that melanin, among other things, is primarily a neurochemical, which it is. It's not primarily a neurochemical. It is a pigment. It happens to be in certain areas in the brain, and it has some various roles in those areas. But I'll talk about it as a pigment first. So melanin is the pigment that makes your skin brown, dark. It gives us all of the various complexions that we have. Throughout the world. You know, from cafe au lait to deep black. They talk about it coming from the pineal gland, which everyone makes a big fuss over the pineal gland, and I'm going to have to write something about this because I'm tired of people bringing it up to me, and I just want to give them the link and tell them to read and leave me alone. But actually, the pineal gland does not make melanin. It makes melatonin. And very often, tofu dashiki is confused melatonin and melanin. Melatonin is neurochemical, and it helps in various ways to regulate sleep cycles. It is not a pigment. melanin, actually, is primarily produced in melanocytes, but it is also found in, areas like the locus coeruleus and substantia nigra. And what we know from the science that has been done so far is that melanin seems to kind of latch onto, if you will, various toxins and metals that are in the brain that are toxic. And they're generally, neuromelanin is found in areas alongside, dopamine. So, you know, when you're talking about Parkinson's, for example, you get degeneration of dopaminergic neurons, but in those same neurons and structures, you also see depletion of neuromelanin. So it's an indication that neuromelanin is important in sort of helping to preserve these regions from damage. So it has other roles. But the pineal gland is not your third eye. Melatonin is not melanin. If you don't get anything else from this conversation, please take those two things home. Okay. So that's like one of the first things that they say. And then after they talk about that, they claim that melanin is a communications device. Now, when I told one of my friends about this, we had a laugh. We were dying laughing, and my friend said that he actually gets melanin text messages from Angela Bassett on a regular basis. So he knows this to be true.
Wow.
Of course, he was joking, but, you know.
I get my hidden messages from comic books, so there you go.
Well, if I had to get melanin text messages from anyone, I would get them from Morris Chestnut, because he is fine. But that's another story. he could text me all day on the melanin.
Okay. But it's just, you know, like I said, you know, again, like she said, if you don't get anything else, pay attention to that. Melanin and melatonin are not the same thing.
Not the same thing. So I just had to say that because that was just crazy, crazy, crazy. But they talk about melanin and melatonin. They're not the same things. You know, and of course, you know, melanin and magic melanin is a major thing that factors into Francis Cress Welsing's ideology and in Anthony Browder's ideology that he, and he's actually in the second film. Anthony T. Browder, I remember reading some of Anthony T. Browder's stuff. I'm not proud to say this. When I was like a teenager, and I remember that, you know, like I wasn't, you know, well-versed in tofu dashikiism, but I was open to a lot of things when I was younger. I read a lot of things. I read widely, and I happened to come across this cat. And I remember reading his stuff, and he was talking about, like, how, you know, melanin allows you to, like, levitate, among other things, and I was just like, what the hell? And I think that was the minute I closed the book, and I set it to the side, and I didn't pick it up again.
Then we should all be magicians. You know, why aren't black people dominating that
exactly.
Realm for black David Copperfields, you know?
Right. Anyway.
I would love to learn how to levitate, because I would go to churches, levitate in front, and make them give me the tithes and offering to stop and to leave. Because, you know, it would spook the hell out of them. I had to practice my levitating.
Yeah. They probably would start speaking in tongues and throwing holy water at you. To be honest. So this magic melanin stuff is kind of troubling. But to get back to the melanin question in terms of HIV/AIDS, yeah, they don't really talk necessarily about, you know, people robbing you of your melanin to give you disease or anything in these things, but you pretty much get from them that that's something that they also believe in. They talk about HIV/AIDS being a hoax, and they say that gay men only were getting Phil Valentine actually says this. Phil Valentine says that HIV is actually a benign virus, that it causes no harm, and that what actually causes harm are drugs. And he claims that AIDS was actually experienced by gay men who used poppers and things like GHB during the 1970s. Yeah,
wow.
That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Despite all of the evidence that, you know, that HIV causes AIDS. You know, they're saying this. But, of course, there are some, you know, it's not just black people that believe this. There are white, you know, white people who believe this. There's actually, you know, one of the guys who found HIV actually, you know, goes around saying that HIV does not cause AIDS. And he has a PhD, which goes to show you that, you know, when you're talking about science, you really need to follow the evidence. You don't follow the people. Because the people can be just as batshit crazy as, you know, the people in science and the people in these, you know, sort of expert positions. They can be just as batshit crazy as anybody else.
Exactly.
You know, there are scientists out there who believe in a wide array of conspiracy theories that are unsupported. You know, you don't believe them just because they have initials behind their name. You believe them because they can demonstrate what they are claiming with evidence. And so you have to, you know, you have to watch that. I mean, because that is a really dangerous thing to be saying. Now, they do make one statement that I sort of have to give a little bit of credence to when they're talking about HIV gets painted a lot as a black epidemic, like it's a black problem. And I do think that is part of the problem in trying to reduce HIV infections and getting people to, you know, to recognize that we should probably just make HIV testing a routine part of a physical examination that you get once a year. You know, just to make it, you know, something that is routine so that it's not, you know, it's not something like, you know, people get afraid of. It doesn't have the stigma attached to it, you know, because HIV diagnoses are not, you know, sort of the death sentence that they used to be. You know, you can live a very long life with HIV. You just have to take care of yourself, maintain yourself. You can even prevent yourself from passing it on to your partner or your children. You know, there's a lot of things that are that is different now about having HIV that, you know, than they were, you know, in the 1970s and 1980s when it was, you know, first coming to light. But I do think that, that it's a problem when we sort of characterize it as a black problem, because we do know that, you know, sometimes when we characterize things as black problems in this country, they're not taken very seriously for reasons that we've stated on other shows. But there is a growing epidemic of HIV infection in Eastern Europe that people don't talk about a whole lot. But it's a problem. It's a problem for all of us. It's a worldwide problem. And until we talk about, you know, until we do things to erase the stigma, until we have real conversations about, you know, STD prevention, we talk about real things like, you know, vaccinations, you know, and get really serious about, you know, generating vaccinations that will prevent these sorts of diseases and, you know, making sure that people are aware of various methods of contraception and have access to them. You know, we're going to have this problem. We're going to continue having this problem. It's we have the potential to eliminate or to reduce HIV to the point of, you know, one day maybe we'll look up and we'll say something like, you know, hey, what's HIV? I have to look that up. You know, we have that potential. But
yeah,
there's really only, you know, one real way to do that, and that's to do the things that I mentioned, you know?
Exactly. So, you know, like I said, guys, it's just looking at it, and, you know, she's talking about both films, and you have to, again, make yourself aware, because if you have people running around and making these sort of claims, and especially the claim, you know, the HIV does not cause AIDS, that can cause a lot of issues. That combined with, you know, some of these religious people saying that condoms, you know, assist in the spread of HIV and AIDS, and all of this misinformation out there. And, you know, if you look at the numbers from the CDC and the NIH, the information that they're putting out there, it's increasing, in particular in communities of color, amongst women of color. And we can't continue to allow that. You know, it's preventable. It's preventable, and this type of information doesn't help. So, you know, that's why it's important that we're vocal and we challenge and we criticize and critique this type of information coming out. But before you can do that, you have to be knowledgeable yourself. You have to go out and do the research. You know, you just can't take that type of stuff at face value and then continue to perpetuate it by telling others. You know, that's dangerous. It's irresponsible, and people are losing their lives over this.
Absolutely, they are, and they were back then too. I mean, I talked about, you know, Dr. Sabi before, you know, on other shows and what have you. And Dr. Sabi is one of these guys that was in, you know, in the early 1980s, who was saying that he could cure HIV and AIDS. He was among a crop of individuals who claimed that they could cure HIV AIDS with things like elephant urine. You know, and other things. You know, the clearly quacks, you know, clearly people who are, you know, are not able to do what they say they can do scientifically. But, you know, people were desperate, and they played on that desperation. And there are people who are in our community very distrustful of medical science, some for good reasons, some for not so good reasons, you know, who runs the people like, you know, Sabi and Phil Valentine and others who claim that they can heal them, you know, with, you know, thoroughly debunked, most of them, ways of, of, you know, ways of, you know, supposedly healing folks, like, you know, homeopathy or, you know, herbs with no, you know, with no proven medicinal value. You know, there's one part in the movie where they claim that they talk about, you know, music and the Renaissance, and they're talking about how the lute was the precursor to the lute. And they say that somewhere in, I don't know, they didn't say where in Africa. They, as much as they talk about all the great civilizations in Africa and why we're not told about all the different great civilizations in Africa, they keep referring to Africa as though it is a country. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that pissed me off. Like, you know, it's like they never name names hardly. Like they, you know, the only, I mean, they name sometimes, but it's usually in conjunction with like a person that they're naming from this place. But when they're talking about a particular practice or a particular belief system, they're referring it to it as an African spiritual system or African culture, or, you know, as though it was just one empire, you know. As though there weren't, you know, the Fon and the Fulani and, I'm blanking on names right now, but the Soniki and the, you know what I mean? And the, you know, the Khoisan, you know what I mean? There are all types of groups in Africa, you know, throughout the continent. And, you know, they had different, you know, there are some differences between them. There's a lot of similarities, but like I said, there's a lot of similarities because we're human. You know what I mean? A lot of those similarities.
Exactly.
And some of those similarities come from climate, too, you know. You know, the more like your climate is, the more likely you're going to have, you know, more things in common. You know, you're going to figure out how to do things differently. You know, you're not going to dress like someone who lives in, you know, Scandinavia if you live, you know, in South Africa, you know. You're not going to dress like someone in the Caribbean if you live in, a, you know, Siberia, you know. So
exactly.
There are differences, but they're not necessarily differences because we're just different species or something. We're different because of our circumstances, of our environments, you know.
Exactly.
But, yeah, so... they talked about, like, how they would take, like, the lute
and they would put it over the body of a person who was sick, and it would strum the keys. And those keys would, you know, release the humors. You know, I mean, they actually, they're talking about humors, like black bile, blood, phlegm. They're talking about the humors. No one has used humoral theory in medicine anywhere on the planet in, like, several centuries. It's been disproven.
Wow.
Like, so long ago. And yet they're in this documentary talking about humoral theory like it's really, like it's still a thing. Like it still works. Yeah.
Wow. 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 Are these people religious also?
Some of them are. It seems like, I think Tariq Nasheed is some form of Christian, and I think some of them, some of the other ones are too. There's a whole, section where they talk about spirituality, both in the first one and in the second one. In the second one, they talk about spiritual warfare. and funny thing is, Kim, included in the spiritual warfare section is a section where they talk about Santa Claus, and they say Santa Claus was black. And I'm like, why do you care?
Right.
Why do you care about a fictional character? It was the most ridiculous thing ever to include. Like, I was like, you guys are just, like, if this wasn't ridiculous before, you just took it to another level of ridiculousness. Now we're talking about the color of a fictional character. Now they were talking about Saint Nicholas, but then they were saying that, you know, it was a black man or whatever. Who cares? You know what I mean? You're talking about Santa Claus, you know?
I mean, but the thing is that with the fictional Santa Claus that, you know, that's perpetuated in these cultures, that's one thing. But, I mean, if you have people out there that are kind and trying to help families and help children, it doesn't matter what color they are. And,
no.
You know, it's just ridiculous.
Although I will have to say, in Holland they have a very racist sort of Christmas tradition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of course, they don't think it's racist, but there's a character. Santa has a slave in Holland, basically. Santa has
exactly.
A slave named
yeah.
What's his name? Pete. I forget.
And every year they celebrate that.
And they dress up like him. And people dress mm-hmm. up like him, and it's fairly offensive the way that they do it. And actually, I was just looking at you know, W. Kamau Bell. He had a woman on his show who is in a interracial relationship with a man from Holland, and she was saying, you know, when I think about blackface, I think about lynching. When my husband thinks about blackface, he thinks about Christmas. And he was like, and she said, so we compromised by celebrating Kwanzaa.
Oh, that is too funny. But I mean, it's just that. But that's why you have to do the research. Because I remember posting something about that a little while ago. And you know, not only that, you know, there are a lot of different countries that have different, you know, traditions as far as who Santa Claus or Saint Pete or Saint. You know, these different saints, if you will. But I don't know. You know, someone in the chat room said, are any of these people black nationalists? Because some
like
of these
all
same arguments. Exactly.
All of them.
I've heard the same arguments from black nationalists. I remember one particular set of black nationalists that I encountered within the past year here in Chicago. And, you know, of course, you know, I talk about HIV and AIDS outreach to communities of color. And he said nothing at first, and then later on, yeah, it's Krampus, exactly, that's the evil Santa Claus. But the guy later on, he said, well, he doesn't believe in, you know, HIV and AIDS. He doesn't believe that it exists. And was telling me to go look up Dr. Sabian about the Kenyan prostitutes and all of that. You know, of course,
oh,
I just
yeah,
smiled.
Oh, yeah, I think we had that conversation before. That's funny.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's like, yeah, it, I was just smiling and grinning, and I walked away because I'm like, okay, I'm not about to argue with you folks. That's what you believe, so be it. But it was nice meeting you, and have a lovely day. Because,
right.
You know,
and then you back out smiling. back out in the room,
okay.
Slowly. Yeah, no. make no sudden moves. No. but, no, it's really sad, but they're talking about, like, the Black Madonnas, and there's a couple of different theories on the Black Madonnas. You know, some of them have to do with, you know, wanting to represent the cultural or sort of the people who are around them. Some of them are just black because of, you know, lead-based paint or exposure to the elements, you know, and I forget what the third one was, but regardless, who cares about fictional characters? There's no evidence that any of these people lived. You know
exactly.
What I mean? So it's right. Really, to me, a moot point. I mean, of course, I'm an atheist, so I really don't care. But,
exactly.
I mean, I guess they care because they believe, but I just ask them, like, what's
I
the
mean,
evidence?
The little old lady at the block could be Santa Claus, as far as I'm concerned, because if she sees the kids outside and she knows these kids come from a difficult, you know, disadvantaged home, and she tries to feed them because they're not getting what they need from home, that's Santa Claus, damn it. That's a real-life Santa Claus, because she doesn't have to do that. And she's taking care of those kids on the block. I've seen people do that. So, I mean, whatever you want to call Santa Claus, I mean, the actual character itself doesn't exist, but hell,
right.
It's about people helping people.
Okay, so I have to mention this, although I don't really want to.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what they mentioned, Kim. It has to do with a certain chapel and a certain artist by the name of Michelangelo. So they, of course, this is one of those parts where, you know, without sources, they provide a dialogue that supposedly happened between Michelangelo and the Pope at that time, talking about,
wow.
You know, wanting to represent, you know, Christ and, you know, the rest of the characters as white. And he said that there, and he's like, but there are no models for European, you know, Europeanized figures. You know what I mean? And he's,
wow.
Like, he's like, well, you'll think of something. And he's like, oh, I'll just use my family. You know what I mean? Like, when did that conversation happen? Where is that documented anywhere? Come on now.
Exactly.
And then there's another one. I have to mention, there's a painting that they show, and it's from Syria, and it's supposed to be the oldest depiction of Jesus, and they claim that this supports their theory that Jesus was black. You cannot really see a whole lot of the features of this person, because it's kind of done very small, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
right.
Even if you could, like, it's a, like, since when is a painting a Polaroid? You know what I mean? Like, especially before people were doing, like, you know, were really about realism. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
About artistic realism. Because artistic realism was not always the norm. You know? These were,
that's true.
You know, these were, you know, stylized, you know, presentations a lot of times. I mean, they even talk about the Buddhas, and they talk about how, like, the Buddha's hair is supposed to, you know, it looks naughty. Well, that's just a representation. It's a style. It's not meant to be
right.
Interpreted as this is actually what Buddha looks like. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, there are different representations, different interpretations of what, you know, a lot of these quote-unquote holy men, you know, may have looked like, and just because you picked that one and you're sticking with it doesn't mean that it's the correct one. But, you know, going back to the Jesus thing, it's not even been proven that he ever existed. But, again, they're making it up as they go along, and people are falling in line with it. That's why I was asking if they were religious, because just the behavior and the behavior patterns, you know, just indicates that it's ridiculous.
I'll say that both of them seem like they're religious. Tariq Nasheed seems like he's religious. Shahrazad Ali seems like she's religious. Cress Welsing seems like she's religious. However, if there are some people in these documentaries who are not religious, And Phil Valentine is one of those, you know, I'm a spiritual, you know, metaphysical type, you know what I mean? So he believes in all that Jesus stuff, but they believe, oh, I didn't get to that part. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to skip ahead in a second. But, you know, they sort of believe in it in one way or another. So, like, it's a pseudo-spiritual thing, like I pick and choose. And this sort of brings me to the next part. They claim that Christianity, or one of them, Booker T. Coleman, claims that that Christianity comes out of the Amun priesthood. Now, if you know anything about Amenhotep, Amenhotep was a pharaoh in Egypt, and Amenhotep was, as far as history shows, the very first person to introduce monotheism. And this was very political situation that he, introducing monotheism in Egypt, because Egyptians up until that point were polytheistic.
Right.
And he moved the capital of Egypt. He moved it to another city and, you know, started and built his own temples and everything. As a matter of fact, that whole city was abandoned after he died. And they went back to the old, you know, religion, because people were very unhappy with this Amun priesthood situation. But they claim that it comes from the Amun priesthood, but then they claim that the story of Christ comes from Osiris. Osiris and Amun were not the same thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
They weren't. Uh-huh. They weren't even remotely similar. So to say that those two things, you know, came together and formed Christianity is A, not documented anywhere, not proven anywhere, and B, it just seems rather unlikely that those two things would be, you know, put together for, you know, to create another religion. They also claim that every religion that's on the planet comes from the African spiritual tradition. Again, you know, blending all of these different cultures in all of these different places together and calling them the African spiritual system, which is not, you know, the same, because, you know, Yoruba is not the same as, you know, the Egyptian religious system. Not the same. It's not the same as, you know, it's not the same as a lot of other sort of spiritual traditions on the planet and in Africa, rather. And so there's really no documentation that links them, and there's certainly no documentation that proves that all of these things gave rise to the various Asian religions, East Asian religions, including Hinduism and, you know, Taoism, and Buddhism. There's nothing that shows, you know, how that these African, you know, I'm using their words, African spiritual systems gave rise to Mithraism or Christianity or, you know, those sorts of things. Now, there are similarities between the Egyptian pantheon and the Roman and Greek pantheon, so that doesn't necessarily mean that they directly stole or that they did not come up with these things on their own. They could have influenced each other, you know, because there is influence when cultures get involved with each other in trade and in other things. So there could have been cultural exchange. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that the Romans saw what they had and they were like, oh, let's just take this home.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous. But so there's those things, and then So that covers that little Amenhotep thing. I'm done with religion. I'm done with it. But I don't want to talk anymore about religion. I'm done with it. Over it. Moving on. Let's see. How much time do we have left? Because we've talked about a lot of stuff. We only have 30 minutes left, and there's so much more that we could talk about. But they talk about, so going back to Europe. Okay, so they talk about the Grimaldis. And so they talk about these fossils that were found in Europe that were supposed to have African features. Okay, I've heard about this thing for years, and I never really looked into it, never really questioned it, because it really didn't make much of a difference in my mind. Because if we all know that modern humans came from Africa, we know that there were Africans in all of those corners, you know, in all of, you know, Europe and Asia at some point, right? Except that these Grimaldi fossils that were said to have been African, they actually come from a racist ideology. They were actually interpreted from a racist ideology by a man named, what was his name? His name was Arthur de Gobineau. And his theory was that whites were the original race and that everyone came from whites. And so there had to be some kind of missing link between Europeans and Africans. So when they encountered these fossils, they judged these fossils because of various anatomical features on these fossils to be African. But there's really no evidence that they have to be African or that they are African. One of the problems is that they interpreted the lower jaw. The lower jaw protrudes in, I think, at least one of those fossils. From you know, the lower jaw protrudes a little bit, it comes out, and so that was thought to be sort of an African sort of, you know, ape-like, you know, feature. And so they tried to say that because of that and because of the way that the upper jaw kind of came forward a little bit, but or slanted a little bit, that must have been an African. Well, there's really not a whole lot of data to show what those fossils are, but they're not African, or it's thought that they're not African, that they're maybe some early form of hominid. They're not sure. It might even be Cro-Magnon. But the point is that the interpretation of these fossils was made for racist purposes, to support a racist theory that is unscientific and has no support. So Tofu Dashiki shouldn't even be bringing up Grimaldi, the Grimaldi fossils, the Grimaldi man, because these fossils are, you know, they were used by racist whites, the racist scholars that they accuse of hiding all of our history in the first place.
Exactly. It makes me wonder if they've done any research of their own, or is this is mind-boggling. Why would you use evidence from somebody who was trying to prove that you shouldn't even exist in the first place?
Because they don't know anything about it. Because they know nothing about it. They know absolutely nothing about it. And that's the point. That was one of the things that, like, killed me, and I found that out with very, very little, you know, effort. And like I said, I'll write all of this up and I'll put it on my blog, and that way it'll be there as a resource. But I was shocked. I was like, this makes no sense. And you know what? Actually, if you look into a lot of things that Tofu Dashiki is, you know, kind of believe in and promote, a lot of that stuff has origins in you know, racist, you know, white supremacist ideology. But they think that, I guess, by twisting it or altering it, that somehow it's no longer racist anymore, at least not racist to blacks. And I find it very interesting because on the one hand, they put down white scholarship, but when they're ready to use it to say that blacks are superior, they'll use it, not realizing that the intention was to say that blacks were inferior in the first place.
You know? Wow. Exactly.
But there was one really interesting article that I came across, and I'll have to post that somewhere. But it was about early human migration and well, sort of where Europeans sort of come from on the, you know, in that migration pattern. It looks like Africans went into South Asia, and then from South Asia they went north and west. So it doesn't look like we went straight north. We went into South Asia and then back north and back west. And also across the Bering Strait. So that's pretty much what the map of you know, human migration sort of looks like.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. I'll have to post that on your wall. I thought that was interesting. So that covers Europe. I'm sorry if it seems like I'm going all over the place, but like I said, this documentary was like rapid fire bullshit. You know? So sometimes they're out of order, you know? But then, okay, so they finally got to the Americas. Okay, and so they claim that Africans actually were in the Americas before European explorers. And they claim, you know, various, you know, evidence for this, except that most of their evidence turns out to be not evidence for their position at all, but actually refutes their position. So they talk about, like, one of the first maps that actually depicted America on it, and it was supposed to be by this guy, Muhammad Al-Drisi. And that map was actually, I think, made sometime in the early 1500s, like maybe around 1510. By that point, Europe had quote-unquote discovered America, so that one doesn't count. So we throw that bit of evidence out. There's another map that they claim, you know, proves that Africans were in America, and that was discovered by Piri Reis, called the Piri Reis map. That map was actually made also in the early 1500s, that map obviously cannot be used to say that Africans were in the Americas prior to European explorers, because European explorers had been in the Americas by that point. Then there's another map. It's the Waldman-Mueller map. Waldman-Mueller map was made in the early 1500s, and they claim, Tariq Nasheed actually directly makes the claim that Waldman-Mueller actually said that he sourced remnants of Egyptian maps for his map. Cannot find those sources anywhere. If anyone would like to present those sources to me, please do, because there's no evidence that that actually happened. And because the map was made in the 1500s, he obviously had access to other materials, you know, other maps that would have been made of the Americas, and so those claims are, you know, suspect.
Right.
Let's see. They claim a Sanskrit map. They don't say whose map was in Sanskrit, so you can't even look that up, at least not directly, but I'll keep looking. They cite the Olmec heads as being Africoid. I'm not necessarily convinced that they are Africoid. I don't have any cousins that look like that. I've never met any Africans that look like that. So I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but kind of need more evidence than that, especially because we know that people made a lot of things that they didn't, you know. They didn't necessarily see. They're just stylized. They're representations of other things, you know? So there's
right.
really no reason that they have to be. I mean, the heads on Easter Island, I know no one's going to try to tell me that those heads on Easter Island represent real people and what they actually looked like in real life. No one's going to
exactly.
tell me that, right? Okay, so don't try to tell me, like, you know, there was an actual Sphinx that someone, you know, modeled after. You know what I mean? Of course, we know it wasn't actually
right.
called the Sphinx, but, you know, I'm just saying the Sphinx for everyone's benefit, because we all know what I'm talking about when I say Sphinx. But yeah, so, you know, I don't buy that people only make things that they've seen before. You know what I mean? that they
right.
never make things from their imagination. I don't buy that. They try to sell you that on the History Channel's, you know, ancient aliens bullshit, but you're not gonna sell me on that on my show. It's just not gonna happen. I need a little bit more evidence than, oh, well, people don't have imaginations. They only make things that they see. Okay, prove it.
Right. Or they'll tell you, you know, well, most people believe it. You know, not everybody can be wrong. You'll get that argument as well. And then they'll take you around a group of their friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, but most people believe a lot of things that aren't true. So, I mean,
exactly.
There's a lot of people who are walking around right now who think that pulling out during intercourse will keep them from having kids.
Exactly. You know, but they let you know they didn't pay attention in that health class. I thought everybody had to have that one semester.
If they had health class, you're assuming
yeah.
they had health class or that they paid attention.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Case,
there's this thing called PRE. Look that up. You know, but anyway.
Anyway, I don't know why I used that example. It was just, I just had to come up with something that was ridiculous that people actually believe and say out of their mouths, that we've all heard that they've said out of their mouths. So no one can deny that that's been said. Because I don't want people coming back to me, well, not everybody believes that. It's like, no, we all know someone who said that out of their mouths, and we've all, you know, put our head in our, you know, done the, you know, face palm afterwards. So.
Exactly.
Let's see. But they also claim that Christopher Columbus and others, you know, said that they were encountering African people. Of course, they don't cite sources. They also say that one person said that they described the people that they encountered in the Americas as red, and this Booker T. Coleman person said you can't have red without brown and black. that just proves this point. I was like, you know what? I was like, and done. I have no objections. Clearly, you're right. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But, yeah.
Wow. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out because I'm going through the color scheme in my head. And anyway, go ahead, girl, because I'm getting ready to trip, and I don't think you even want me going there, but go ahead.
The same person, Booker T. Coleman, claims that the 18th dynasty of Egypt can be tracked on their journey down the Mississippi River. No evidence that ever happened. No sources cited. Phil Valentine claimed that the Memphis that was in Egypt was also here in the United States.
Oh, come on. Are they offering any evidence for this stuff?
None. Absolutely none. Because only, you know, like there's an Alexandria in Virginia. Clearly Alexander made it across the ocean and conquered, you know, Alexandria, Virginia. Why else would it be called Alexander, Virginia, if Alexander didn't conquer it? You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, come the hell on, you know?
That is, you know, the stupid. I mean, seriously, you know, excuse me, I don't like call it. It's, wow. From the United States, really?
Critical thinking,
really?
People.
And see, and then you not, I can't. I mean, you've been encouraging me to watch this thing, and I just can't bring myself to do it. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm trying to bring forth, you know, critical shit on this show on Sundays, and you know, and you know, all the other stuff that we're doing. I can't clog my mind with this. I mean, it's bad enough I know quite a bit of it already.
I know.
But to clog my new shit, and you know, you catch me on a good day, my ass be half damn conscious, and I'll end up spitting that shit out and thinking about it like, that's not true. No, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what they said. They said it, and they were dead serious when they said it, too. Like, I was like, I'm looking to see if maybe there's, like, some expression. Like, I know what I'm saying out of my mouth is bullshit, but I'm saying it for the benefit of this person's self-esteem. And there was none of that. You know what I mean?
Okay. So, I mean, did barbecue come from Africa, and then they sent it to Memphis and
that's
over
right.
here? And
yep.
You
dry
know.
Rub, dry rub came hey. Right out of, dry rub came out of Luxor, actually, if you didn't know.
Oh.
Came out of Luxor.
Okay. What about potato mm-hmm. salad? Can
potato
salad. Potato salad.
Potato salad came from Nubia.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Despite the fact they had no potatoes.
Well, you know, that's why they had those Irish slaves, right? It's so funny they just carried the potatoes from Ireland.
Right. Uh-huh. Exactly.
You know. That was the starch road. That was the starch road, you know.
That
there
the
you
starch
go.
Starch road. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. The great no, true story, the Great Potato Famine was not actually a famine as much as it was the result of raids by Africans for potatoes.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. I mean, we're jumping down this rabbit hole. Let's just go head first.
Let's just go head first. Let's just go all in.
Oh man. So
yeah,
I think I'm
gonna
call myself some clogs and annoy my damn neighbors later. Go ahead.
Oh my goodness, it's funny. But they also seem to think that like anything that like where you find braiding, like if you find like, you know, someone with braids, that those are obviously African braids because no one else was braiding. Let's see. Phil Valentine. Oh, this clown. I'm just going to have to do a whole blog on Phil Valentine because every time I encounter this fool, I hear the most ridiculous shit ever. But Phil Valentine claims that Mansa Musa of Mali, who was a very rich king. There are stories about him, and this is true. They talk about this. There is a story about him making a pilgrimage to Mecca and throwing off the entire Egyptian economy because he gave out so much gold. So
oh, wow.
there are stories about Mansa Musa. Now, not sure how true that is, but it is true that he was a very rich man. But that's the story that is you know that is the lore around him. But in any case, very rich king, he went on a pilgrimage or whatever. And, you know, there's really great stories about him. You should probably read about him, guys. But Philip Valentine claims that Mansa Musa became Montezuma.
What?
Yes.
How?
That he took a flotilla of ships and that he wound up in Mexico, and became Montezuma. Now, what is funny about this, though, is Phil Valentine obviously has not done any research because Mansa Musa lived roughly around 1280 to 1337. Moctezuma, the first, lived 1398. To 1469, and his son from 1466 to 1520. Those dates don't match up. There's not even overlap.
He was reincarnated.
Like, not even.
He was reincarnated.
He was reincarnated.
Yeah,
he used his third eye to reincarnate.
He
reincarnated twice.
Man, his flotilla. I want a magic carpet for Christmas. I don't even celebrate Christmas, but if you can give me a magic carpet, I'll celebrate that
shit.
But
you have melanin. But Ken, you have better than a magic carpet. You have melanin.
That's right. That's right. I have to work on that. I have to work on my limitation skills.
You got to work on your limitation skills. You got to work on it. Don't let anybody take your melanin, girl.
Yeah, I was deprived. But go ahead.
Wow. So
Then there's another claim.
So they make claims about various Native American tribes being supposedly African-looking. They show a lot of different paintings and drawings of Native American people. And some of them are drawn black or, you know, in very dark colors. You know, I guess that's supposed to prove that these people were black people. But we know that a lot of these people who were doing this were very racist individuals. So maybe they, you know, so they didn't have any motivation, you know what I mean, to draw these people,
uh-huh.
you know what I mean, as something that they were familiar with. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that they were always 100% accurate, you know what I mean, in their depictions. You know, these were savages in their minds.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. And anything black was, you know, negative because of the racism.
Right. So there was, there's that. And then they were talking about the Melungeons. The term Melungeon wasn't actually used until the 1800s, but they claimed that the Melungeons show that Africans were here in the Americas before Europeans. Okay, well, funny thing about that, DNA analysis shows that, because Melungeons are usually thought to be triracial. Funny thing, and they've always been thought that way, I thought that they were that way until just this week, when I read an article that actually came out earlier this year, DNA testing, you know, Melungeons living today, they're actually biracial. They're actually the result of biracial pairings of black men and white women from Europe. They were probably indentured servants together. These were, you know, because of the prohibitions on race mixing, They left North Carolina and Virginia and those places, and they settled in the mountains of Tennessee, where they would not be harassed or
exactly.
have their lives threatened. So
many of them were coming across and saying that they were Portuguese, and they were surprised when they found out they were actually biracial. Exactly,
or the results of biracial pairings. But they range in all shades now. Because they've over time they've bred with each other and bred with, you know, other people in the area. So, Melungeons are actually not as exotic as everyone once thought. So they talked about that. And there was something else. Oh, the other thing to remember is that there's also DNA analysis on Native Americans, and they have been found to be, you know, most genetically similar to Asians living today. So proving yet again that this idea of Africans coming to the Americas, before European explorers, is bunk. And then the other thing to also keep in mind, or another thing that I saw in the documentary, was they had shown a picture of a man from Tierra del Fuego, who they claimed was a native South American. And they claimed this person, shows that Africans were in South America before Europeans. Funny thing about that picture. The picture in the documentary, and they show this. They actually wrote this on the picture, that the picture came from 1900. Well, what would Africans be doing in South America by 1900, I wonder? You know what I mean?
Let's try to jeopardy you. Okay, right.
Do we need some Jeopardy music? Maybe I'll get some Jeopardy music for the show. So that's just something else I thought I would mention. And then they talked about Benjamin Banneker, and they were talking about how he was a Moor. No evidence that he actually was a Moor, although there is some evidence that his father was African. You know, that's in his document. You know, that's documented.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they're talking about his photographic memory, and you know, they're talking about his skill as an astronomer, and I don't really think that anyone can really you know, refute that so much. But they said that he laid out DC according to the heavens, as though that matters. As though, and you know, it's the same. It's
oh,
the same.
Oh, that kind of fucked up because DC is nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
You're funny. You're so funny. Especially, I really hate that DC has their lights on the side and not overhead. That really annoys
right.
the hell out of me. I had to, okay, this is completely aside, but I had a teacher in college who said that when he first went to DC, he was driving around and he was like, woo, this is great. There's no red lights or anything. And he was just running through. He said people were honking at him and there were folks like yelling at him and like flicking him off. And he was like, people in DC are mean, but I love their streets. They're great.
I thought they were welcoming him to the city. He knew what to talk at him. Oh, that is hilarious.
I know that has that nothing to do with anything, but that was just something that brought to mind because you told me that. But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, first of all, who cares whether or not this, you know, something is aligned with stars? The stars, you know, don't determine our actions. They don't, you know, they don't. Astrology is not a science. Astrology is you know, pseudoscience. It's quackery. It has nothing to do with anything. You know, modern astronomers will tell you that, you know, over time, you know, the positions of the stars and things change, the earth wobbles, you know what I mean? So none of these things really matter in the long scheme of things, you know, that something is
right.
aligned with the stars. What does that mean? You know,
right.
Okay, so what? You know?
Exactly.
Okay, someone
no,
in the chat
exactly.
says that. Okay, someone was talking about the thing I was telling you about with the picture from Tierra del Fuego, and the picture was taken in 1900, and they said it was proof that they were there prior to that time. Okay, but, sir, in the chat room, why would they be in South America prior to 1900? When did slavery start? Think about those things. Yeah, and then get back to me. So moving on.
Well, you, I wanted to bring something. You mentioned the Moors a couple of times, and
yes.
I know they're big on the Moors, and the Moors were kicked out of Spain, you guys. I want you to go and do some research on that. Do some research on who the Moors are. You know, there's some royalty in there. That's because they mixed, you know, with some of the royal family, but do some research on that. In that Frances Cress Welting book, she talked a lot about the Moors, and that woman really seemed obsessed with sex. I mean, anyway, so, you know, guys, all the time, she has penis at everything she looks at. You know, I mean, I'll never look at the Capitol the same way ever again.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, so they also make a claim that Big Ben is named after Benjamin Banneker, but Big Ben, actually most people think that Big Ben is actually the clock tower, but Big Ben is actually not the clock tower. That's Elizabeth Tower. Big Ben is the bell inside of the clock tower.
Right.
And it's not named for him. The other thing that they talked about was the Statue of Liberty. You guys can Snopes it. It's not true. There is one theory about the Statue of Liberty that has some hint of truth to it, and that is that it was given as a celebration of the end of slavery, but not necessarily was meant to be a black woman. You know, so you can look that up, guys. Let's see. Talked about those things. Talked about the humor, talked about HIV. Oh, they talked about the Dogon, particularly in the second one. So the Dogon is a tribe in Africa, and according to the pseudo-history they offer in the documentary, the Dogon was a one of the supposed tribes that was involved in Kemet. And when the Dogon left, they supposedly took all of this rich astrological knowledge, which we now know is not as rich as people once thought. They were supposed to have seen Sirius with the naked eye before telescopes were able to see Sirius. However, there's no evidence that that actually occurred. And in fact, the anthropologist that initially wrote the work dealing with the Dogon, they actually confabulated a little bit. They were guilty of confabulation. They sort of imparted to the natives, the Dogon, that, you know, Sirius and these other things existed, and these people placed them in their cosmology. So there's evidence on that. You know, the Skeptic magazine actually has a good article on it. But you can find this information. It's out there. Let's see. Sorry, my cat is doing weird things now. Let's see. They started talking about the feminist movement, and they claim that the government created the feminist movement. Wrong. They claim that women's rights were not in jeopardy in the Black community. Wrong. See Ida B. Wells. See a lot of the Black women's organizations that were working on the behalf of Black women, you know, in the early 1900s and in the late 1800s. That those things directly refute that. They talk about, oh, Phil Valentine once again dropping knowledge. claims that to destroy the enemy, you have to get rid of the cultural perception of authority, i.e. the Black man, the masculine principle, the head of the family. Bullshit. Anyway, they claim that by taking away the head of the family, that takes away the man's rights. They claim that men can no longer be men, so they decide to act like women. And this is where the homophobia starts to kick in. They start showing videos of men twerking, and then they start talking about white supremacy and, Frances Cress Welsing's, theory, where she claims that pants hanging down is a subconscious invitation to homosexual sex, and that the effeminization of Black men is at epidemic levels, and that it's going to lead to genocide. Yeah. She says that. Yeah. And most of what I've talked about is really just in the first film, but a lot of it's repeated in the second film. Hidden Colors 2 is about 2 hours and 30 minutes too long. And the whole movie is 2 hours and 30 minutes. So that just tells you what I think about that film. What I think about all the films, actually. They're too long. They should not have been made. They're pseudo history, they're just full of pseudo intellectualism and, poor scholarship. No sources are provided. It's just a shame. And we only have about 2 minutes and 40 seconds left. So, with that, I'm going to pretty much wrap up this show. I probably won't talk about this again, although I know that there's Hidden Colors 3 coming out next year. Oh, I do want to say one thing before I leave, because I said something nice about it in the beginning, and I'll say something nice about it now. The only thing about particularly Hidden Colors 2 that I liked was Michelle Alexander's part, because Michelle Alexander was talking about the new Jim Crow, and her scholarship is excellent, but it's all the stuff that they threw on top of that was bullshit. So, unfortunately, I'm not sure that Michelle Alexander knew what she was contributing to, but at least she injected something factual into an otherwise bullshit film. And so I just wanted to leave it there. But we've had some really great shows this week. Vita did a show on mixed topics. On Thursday, you guys can find that in the archives. Alfred and Carl did a show. I also think they talked about various hot topics in the news. So you guys check that out. Kim is going to do the second, or is it the second or third part? It's the third part,
right? It's the third part.
The third and final part to keeper down. Sorry, the third and final part to the series on the political aspects of the God concept. And we'll have some other great shows coming up for you in the next week. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any questions, you guys can always contact me through Kim or at my blog or at the address for my blog, which is roads.2reality@gmail.com. So until next time, guys, sorry I'm rushing, but we're out of time. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
The original Asiatic women. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.